Blog Talk Radio.
Have tuned in to Home, Helen Arm Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you and you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. I tell you, I am so excited again on today for just another wonderful, wonderful lesson that we're going to be talking about on today, from the wilderness to Jordan. My God, my God. Grab your Bible, come on in, and make yourself right at home. We're getting ready just to move forward in this wonderful lesson in just a moment. I pray that your day has been blessed, filled with nothing but the blessings of the Lord, that make it rich and add no sorrow. Make it a greater day, a blessed day. Amen. Because of the fact that you are a blood-bought child of God. Amen, that loves the Lord our God. And so let's look at our lesson on today, talking about from the wilderness to Jordan. And we're going to look at several passages of scriptures on today, Numbers chapter number 14, verses 26 to 27, verse 29. Then we're going to jump down to verse number 31 through verse 33 and verse 38. This is all found in Numbers in the Old Testament, chapter number 14. And we're going to start at verse number 26 and 27. The scripture reads on this line, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long will I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, which they murmured against me. Verse 29, your carcasses have shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, and according to your whole numbers for 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Then verse 31 to 33, but your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredom until your carcass be wasted in the wilderness. And then verse number 38, but Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men, went to search the land, lived still. We're going to be talking about how God is giving, is faithful to give strength, endurance, and protection to those who determine to endure to the end. That's our focus on today, our focus thought. Romans in verse number 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us read from. After receiving the law and constructing the tabernacle, Israel left the wandering of Sinai en route to the promised land. You see that in Numbers chapter number 10, verse 11 and 12, and verse 29. However, a journey that should have taken only 11 days, you see Deuteronomies 1 and 2, stretched into months of misery filled with complaints and rebellion. When they finally arrived at the wilderness of Paran, Moses sent out spies into the land God had promised, and the excitement generated by the glowing report from the fruitfulness of the land turned to waves of panic from the description of the giant and well-fortified strongholds. They said to one another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Numbers 14 and 4. Unbelievably, they would rather surrender to Pharaoh's cruel treatment than believe God's promise to give them victory over the giants in the promised land. Their choice of slavery over victory cost them the entry into the promised land and sentenced their children to 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Unbelief and rebellion have robbed many people of the blessing and promises of God. And admittedly, God's promises often are attained only with persistence, grappling with giants and squatters who want to keep us from obtaining the rightfully belong to us. But the Lord is faithful, and his promise awaits those who endure. Let us make correct choices and refuse to return to Egypt and press onward to the victories that God has prepared for his people. My God, Shandarabo Sheka. Let's look at the report of the spies, the faithless report. In accordance with God's command, Moses chose an influential man from each of the 12 tribes to scout out the land. Numbers 13, verses 18 through 20 said, "See the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it's good or bad, and what city that they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, or what the land is, whether it's fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not." Now, God already knew the answer to these questions, but the people did not know. He hoped their discoveries of the beauty and the plenty of the land would inspire faith in his promise. And he said, "Be ye of good courage." Now, the Hebrew word translated for courage or courageous could have been a connotation of steadfast-mindedness, fortified, to establish, obstinate. But most important was to go in the strength of Yah, Jehovah. Now, when we are engaging and moving forward, we must go in the strength of God. Oh, catch that, child of God. And that's what happened to the children of Israel in this particular narrative and story and things. God wanted them to go in his strength. God desires Israel's confidence in his power to conquer, whether the opponent be the Egyptian or Egypt or Canaan or any other foe. However, only two of the spies approached the mission with courageous determination, although the other ten, appreciated the good land. Their courage stifled when they saw the massiveness wall and inhabited by the children of Anak and the Amalekites and the Hittites and Jebusites and the Canaanites. Instead of imagining themselves moving into homes that they have not built and reaping crops that they have not planted, they imagined themselves battered and crushed by the hostile forces and their families enslaved. Instead of comparing the enemy's might to the might, God's might, they compared it to their own might and found their strength wanting. How many times have you prepared your strength, compared it against the situation that you're dealing with? And I come to share with you on today is take a step back and begin to look at the strength of the Lord, of what he is capable and willing to do for the children of God. Preferring the known to the unknown, the people decided to return to Egypt. They did not consider that if they turned back, God in his displeasure might not continue to protect and lead them with the pillar of cloud and a fire. If they went forward into Cana, they would die, could die. If they went backwards to Egypt without water and food and protection, they would surely die. Their weeping and complaining and rebellion pushed God to the brink of destroying them. My God, let us not push God to that point. The faithful report. Now, we looked at the faithless. Now, let's take a look at the faithful report. Numbers 13, verses 3 through 15, gives a detailed list of the names of the 12 spies. But today, only two of the names, Joshua and Caleb, are remembered because of their good report. Perhaps when the two spies have begun to paint a glowing picture of the promised land, Joshua and Caleb stood by and let the others speak. But when the spies and the stories change suddenly from the delight, gloom, and doom, the two men try to resurrect the dead faith. God will give us this exceeding good land if we go forward and in faith instead of turning backwards to in rebellion. Don't fear the giant. God will remove their defenses and will devour them. But the bad report, so incensed the people would not listen to the good report and took up stones to stone Joshua and Caleb. And you'll find that over in Numbers chapter number 14, verses 7 through 10. And we as the children of God, we cannot engage in rebellion, complaining, and weeping about what God has given us to do, lest we push God to the brink. Oh, my God. Amen. Because of our murmuring and complaining. Amen. Let us maintain a heart of thanksgiving and saying, God, I trust you. You are able. You will do it. I put my confidence in your blessed word and your ability, amen, to do all things. Now let's look at the people's response to this. Although Israel has seen the wrath of God pour out on Egypt, they feared the wrath of the Canaanite more. Numbers chapter 14 and 2 said, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God have died in the wilderness? These same people who have vowed to fulfill their obligation to the covenant with God have now cast it aside. Instead of enjoying the blessing of the covenant, they will suffer its curse. God decided to grant their death wish. The people must have felt a pang of fear when the glory of the Lord bewildered out of the tabernacle. Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in anguish in full view of the congregation. God said, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere that they believe me? For all the sign which I have shown among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make to thee a greater nation and mightier than they. That's over in Numbers chapter number 14, verse 11 and 12. Ignoring the honor of God's intention to find a new nation through him, Moses stood in the gap, serving as a shield from the divine wrath. Such plea coming from this man, whom the Lord knew face to face, began to allay his wrath. Now, Moses cried out that if the Egyptian and the Canaanites learned of Israel's destruction, they would conclude that in spite of God's power to deliver the people from the Egyptian dominate, he would, dominion, he would was powerless against the Canaanite and could not establish his people there. The heathen would brag about the superiority of their power and their God. Moses reminded God of his own description of his character as a loving, a long-suffering, a merciful and forgiving, and a God that is full of compassion. He begged God to pardon and to forgive his people. Let us look at God's response. Even though the people have provoked God 10 times because of Moses' intercession, God pardoned the people. yet he refused to change his mind about the people who have seen the glory and the miracle in Egypt. Now, let us stop here for just a moment and park for just a moment. Children of God, let us continue as never before to walk softly before God. Let us strive not to provoke the Lord our God to anger, amen, because of murmuring and complaining and unbelief. But let us adhere to his word, obey his word, come into covenant agreement with him, what he has already established through the word, and as men and women of God. There's so much rebellion and there's so much self-will that is going on and very prevalent as never before. We have to examine our heart and mind, children of God, lest we find ourselves walking in error and not in the divine will of God because of grace. Amen. Grace give us time to get it right. Grace give us time to get back where God wants us to be, amen, as we humble ourselves up under the mighty hand of God, amen, amen. These children of Israel, they seen the glory. They seen the miracles of God. And so I compel to you today, child of God, you've seen the miracles. You've seen the glory of God. Let us adhere to, let us continue to call on that blessed name and walk with him as never before. Everyone from the ages of 20 and up, except Joshua and Caleb, will die up under a curse. Your carcass shall fall in the wilderness. Your little ones, which ye shall be a prey, they will bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. The little ones, and in a limited way, shared the punishment by growing up in the wilderness until 40 years have passed, and their parents have died. God would keep his covenant with them, and they would live to experience the takeover of the promised land and receive their inheritance. There seemed to be no end to Israel's malicious ways. No sooner had Moses pronounced the curse of death upon them than they changed their mind and determined to enter the promised land, possibly thinking that they could reverse the consequences of God's wrath. They launched an attack on the first hill, which was inhabited by the Amalekites and the Canaanites. Moses warned them that they were transgressing God's word, but they charged up the hill. The enemy swarmed down on them like an angry hornet and defending their hives and routed them all the way back to Hormah. Israel seemed to expect God to remain true to the terms of his covenant no matter how many times that they had broken their vows. They did not understand that the privilege and the blessing of a covenant are not realized until the covenant responsibilities are valued as well as obeyed. My God. Now let's look at the wilderness journey. In Numbers 33, Moses recorded chronologically Israel campsite in the wilderness, and you'll find it in verses number 19 to 38, and it spanned the 40 years from the first time that they arrived at the border of Canaan and turned back until the second time that they approached. Now, this time intended upon obtaining their inheritance. This was the younger generation, most of whom back had not known the lash of the Egyptian taskmasters. Many of them have been born in the wilderness. From birth, Moses had been their leader, Aaron their priest, and the only life that they knew was the rugged lifestyle. Now let's look at God's guidance. Because of the failure to accept and believe the promise of God, Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, 1 year for each day the spies had commentated the land of the promised land. And in spite of Israel's faithlessness, God continued to guide and protect them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. When the cloud moved, they pulled up the stakes and followed it to the next encampment. Through these great gifts of grace, God was attempting to teach the people that if they could trust him to take care of them in the wilderness, they could trust that he will fulfill his promise to give them a land flowing with milk and honey. One would think enough rebellion and swift punishment had occurred to preclude any further attempt to usurp Moses and Aaron's authority. But the Levite named Korah, you find in Numbers chapter 16 and 1, who did not think his position was lofty enough, rose up against even Moses, the civil authority, and Aaron, the priestly authority. And this is what we're seeing even now today. People are raising up against the authority that God has even established, even in his own house. Now, Dothan and Abiram and Ono, descendant of Reuben, took part in his rebellion. Later, the three men may have assumed their rights to leadership because Reuben was Jacob's firstborn. Together, the four men gathered support of 250 other men of influence among the tribes. They accused Moses and Aaron of elevating themselves above everyone else, seeing the entire congregation was considered holy and God dwelled among them. After several confrontations, the entire congregation gathered to see whom the Lord would vindicate, Moses and Aaron, or Korah and his followers. Moses told the people to stand back, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the leaders of the rebellion, and fire from the Lord devoured the 250 men who had offered incense. Thus, to oppose and despise Moses and Aaron was to oppose and despise God, who has placed the prophet and the priest in authority. And so, people of God, don't rebel. Don't stand up against what God has already established, even in your home, your churches, and things. This was the consequences of their rebelling. The rebels must have had a great influence because after their dramatic death, the congregation accused Moses of killing holy people. God struck the congregation with a plague, but told Moses to take a censer of fire from the altar and move among the people. The plague stayed, and God confirmed Aaron's priesthood when overnight his rod budded and produced almonds. My God, Jesus. Numbers chapter number 17. Now, let's look further at God's provision. During the Israelite sojourn in the wilderness, it was impossible to find an expanse of area or large land enough to feed so many people. Thus, for 40 years, God continued to send manna until they entered the promised land and ate of the crops and set in the field. Perhaps the women grew weary of wearing their same garments for 40 years because their clothes and sandals did not wear out. You'll find that over in Deuteronomy 29 and 5. Although at times Israel complained that they did not have anything to drink or a variety of food to eat, Moses said, "The Lord thy God has blessed thee. He knoweth thy walking through the great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God has seen, been with thee. Thou hast not lacked nothing," Deuteronomy 2 and 7. But Israel often did not see it that way. At Kadesh, towards the end of their journey, they complained so bitterly about the lack of water and grain and fruit that Moses and Aaron fell upon their face before God. And God told Moses to take the rod and speak to the rock, a variation of the command to strike the rock soon after they left Egypt. During 40 years of sojourning, these stiff-necked people had provoked God by the extension, Moses and Aaron, many times. Near the end of their journey in Deuteronomy 9 and 7, Moses said, "Remember and forget not how that thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that thou didst part out of the land of Egypt until you came into this place." Moses had spent the prime of his life leading the people. Perhaps he thought that the single might be for nothing if the people, like their fathers, turned back again. his frustration boiled over, lifting up the rod, he said, "Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of the rock?" Numbers 20 and 10. And he struck the rock twice in the sight of the congregation. It was only known time. It could not be written. Thus did Moses according to all that the Lord commanded him. So did he. Exodus 40 and 16. Because of this sin, neither Moses nor Aaron entered the promised land. The men who preached faithfully God's message of deliverance and promise to Israel was only allowed to view it from Mount Nebo. He never experienced it. Still, the Lord's frustration did not hinder him from causing water to gush out of the rock. Moses reminded the people, "The Lord led thee through the great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, and there was no water. Who brought thee forth water out of a rock of flint? Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end?" Let's take a look at God's protection. Only a handful of the people in the land of the promise, such as Rahab and her family, welcomed the Israelites. The majority of the native inhabitants thought of the Hebrews as trespassers and encroachers. Israel's first encounter was with the Edomite, whose land squatted across the direct route from the wilderness to their destination east of the Jordan River. Moses approached the Midianites with great tact, calling them brothers and expressing why that they wanted safe passage through the land. But the hatred of the Edomites for Israel, which had begun in Genesis 27 and 41, still burned, and they threatened to attack. Israel began to detour around Edom and came to Mount Hor on the northwest border between Edom and Canaan, where Aaron had died. The Canaanite king saw the approach of the Hebrews and attacked. God's people prayed for help. The Lord delivered the Canaanites into their hands, but they did not enter the land from this place west of the Dead Sea. Turning southward, they journeyed all the way around to Ephraim. Foot sore and discouraged, they launched into a familiar refrain, "No food, no water. We hate this light bread," which is manna. The Lord sent fiery serpents who bit the people, but Moses intervened by erecting a brass serpent on a pole, and anyone who looked upon it lived. Let's look further. Let's look at the reward of them enduring. Now, while encamped on the plain of Moab, God turned the carcass and the curse of Balaam into a blessing for Israel. When the tribe of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh saw the lush pasturage, amen, of the country, they asked for it to settle there. They overcame the people and took the land. After arrival at Jordan, when God told Moses his life was nearly over, Moses asked God to appoint a successor. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar, the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put on some of thy honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel might be obedient." Numbers 27, verse 18 to 20. Then after much teaching and admonition, Moses died. Now, Israel wondered wandering came to an end on the bank of the Jordan River. The Lord spoke to Joshua and gave him the same promise he had given unto Moses. He encouraged him to be strong and courageous, for Joshua, as one of the 12 spies, have seen the giants and fortified city that was about to be invaded. He knew that he could not do it on Israel's strength alone. He would have to trust that God would bring it to pass. The 2.5 tribes who settled in Transjordan readied themselves to cross the Jordan with the rest of the Israelite and the tribes as they conquered the land. Let's look at the preparation for crossing. Now, Joshua told the people to prepare the food, for they would soon pass over Jordan and go into promise and possess the land. On the eve of the river crossing, Joshua instructed the people and the priests, "Sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among us." Joshua 3:5. An air of excitement and nervous apprehension filled the camp, and Joshua said, "The living God is among you, and he will without fail drive out from before you the people of the land." Joshua 3:10. The rivers was at flood stage, but Joshua prepared them for what would happen during the crossing. The priest would take up the Ark of the Covenant and head for the river. And when the sole of their feet dipped in the water, it will begin to back up in the heap, and the people will cross over on dry land. Everything Joshua said came to pass. The priest stood in the middle of the river, bearing the Ark, while the people passed on either side. Joshua asked 12 men, one from each tribe, to take up a stone from the midst of the river and carry it to the western bank. When everyone had passed over safely, the priests crossed, and as soon as their foot hit the western bank, the water resumed their flow and flooded the bank as they had before. Now that night in the encampment, the 12 men erected a memorial with the 12 stones. And which it would serve to teach future generation that God keeps his promise. Now let's look at the promise fulfilled. In 3 swift campaigns, Joshua overtook key cities in central, southern, and northern Palestine. The allocation of the land occurred sometime towards the end of Joshua's life. It described the great detail in chapter 13 through 21 of the book of Joshua. It confirmed to Israelite that the faith and obedience will bring possession of the land. Their forefather doubt and disobedience have kept them from realizing the inheritance that came to their children. Joshua grew old, and on the day of his death, he addressed the people for the last time. "Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your soul that not one thing hath failed of all the good things that the Lord your God spake concerning you, and all come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof." That's Joshua 23 and verse number 14. When we have learned a valuable lesson from the contrast in these two generations of Israelite we have discussed even right now, and today, the first generation grew up with resentment for the Egyptian authority and seemed to transfer the same resentment to Moses' authority. Their suspicion and faithlessness and unbelief kept them on the brink of against God, and there spurred their terms of the covenant with God, bringing down upon their own head the curse that was found upon it. Now, in contrast, and in constant instruction of Moses and the elders had never taken root in their hearts because it was not mixed with faith. They never understood that the privilege and blessing of a covenant are not realized until the covenant responsibilities are valued and obeyed. Ultimately, they received no inheritance and were sentenced to wander in the wilderness until they all died. The writer of Hebrews spoke to this generation in Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 19, verse 16 through 19, and also Hebrews 3:16-19 states, "For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter into because of unbelief." Now let's look at the second generation, which grew up. They ingested a daily dose of the grumbling of their parents until it gradually insaturated itself into their own character. However, although they did act upon some of the traits inherited from their parents throughout their lifetime of Joshua, they did not go to the extremes of their parents. They did not witness the mighty deliverance from Egypt, but they had heard the stories that were now a major component of their history and culture. During the years in the wilderness, the teaching of Moses and Aaron have taken root in their heart. They believed the message that they heard about the promises of God. Their strong desire to attain the promises propelled them into the promised land, where they conquered the giants and they walled the cities and attained the inheritance. Balaam prophesied of this generation, Numbers chapter 24, verses 5 and 6 and 18. "How godly and how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacle, O Israel. And as the valleys are they spread forth, as the garden by the riverside, as the tree of lime aloes, which the Lord hath planted, and as cedars trees beside the river. And Edom shall be a possession, Syria also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do vehemently." My God, from the wilderness to Jordan, the key component, children of God, was predicated on the fact that Israel would take responsibility for the covenant that God had entered in with them, as well as obeyed it. And such as it is for us, children of God, we have promises from the Lord our God, and we as the children of God, we must take responsibility of those promises and must obey the command and the will of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that we may enter in and receive all that God has for us as the children of God, not murmuring, not complaining, not even rebelling. Amen, against the authority that God has established even in his own house. My God, children of God, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto his church even on today in the 21st century. And as never before, we as the children of God, let us embrace with faith believing, because the scripture said it didn't profit them because it was not coupled with faith. Let us couple the prescribed way that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ have established for us as the children of God. Let us couple it with faith believing. Let us obey and adhere to. Let us move on upward and forward and doing the blessed will of the Lord. I see our Canaan land. Also our Jordan. We're crossing over, amen, and we're crossing into the blessing that the Lord had for us as never before. He said that he's going to make us rich and add no sorrow, and we're going to wrap our faith around, amen, the no sorrows blessings that God had for us, amen. He said that we will be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, amen. We're going to wrap our faith around the promise of the Lord, because they're all a yea and amen. Amen. We're going to submit ourselves unto the ways that God has already prescribed for the children of God. And in my closing, I hear the Spirit of the Lord just prompt my spirit, amen, to share with you, Radio Land, amen, a vision that God had given to me. I was on my way to a women's conference. It was in 2011, and I had forgotten something in my home. I was going to be one of the presenters, and I ran back in. And when I was coming out and got my foot down on the ground, amen, from my home, it was just on the ground, and I had a divine visitation from the Lord. And what I seen, he had me to look down on the ground. Hear me, children of God, because this is critical. He had me to look down on the ground. And when I looked down on the ground, he said, Helen, there are three ways and three paths. And he said, there is a path of the world, there is a path of individuals, and there is the path of righteousness. He said, tell my people, hear this. He said, tell my people, on the path of righteousness, he has made provision, protection, everything that we need. As the scripture said, everything that pertains unto life and godliness, he have already prescribed and provide and made provision thereof. It's up to us. It's up to us to make the cognitive decision out of our own cognition, out of our own volition, out of our own will, out of our own choice, to stay on the path of righteousness. My God, my God. And so I encourage you, amen, not complain about his path, but to stay on the path of righteousness, and he will fulfill every one of his promises. They are all yea and amen. Let us turn back and teach our children and our children's children what is the promises of God, for we his people. Father, we thank you for this wonderful lesson on today. Father, I pray that you, Lord, continue to bless and rest, rule, and abide henceforth and forevermore, to bless we, your people, as never before. And let this word bring sin new and life into our spirit as never before, as we stay on the path of righteousness and coming into that Jordan. And, Father, we thank you. We give you praise, glory, and honor. You manifest. You demonstrate. And you revelate for your people. And we'll give you the praise, glory, and honor in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, child of God, I want you to know I'm so glad that you joined me on today. Thank you for being with me and allowing me to come into your home and your cars or wherever you may be at this particular time listening. I know it's nothing like the blessed word of the Lord our God. I made a commitment to my heart and mind and soul, amen. I don't want to just give you the dessert, but I want to give you the word of the Lord, that meat that's going to keep us, amen. I can say you coming out. I can say you're going to be healed. I can say all those wonderful things, but I want to say what thus said the word of the Lord our God, and to encourage you, and yes, he's able to bring us out. Yes, he's able to make all provision and do all. And even like even this have been said, even if he don't, our faith will still say he's able. Oh, child of God, be encouraged as never before, and encourage someone and tell them to come and be with us right here at home, Helen, our Ministry of Empowerment, that they will be tremendously, yes, tremendously blessed, because we're speaking the unadulterated word of the Lord our God, that it will strengthen, fortify, call to remembrance, to bring us back into focus into the will of the world, Lord our God, to do his blessed will. It's nothing like tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. So until we meet again, call somebody. Say, come on and join Dr. Helen Arm on Home, Helen Arm Ministry of Empowerment. They have a wonderful opportunity also to archive all of these wonderful lessons all the way back to 2007. I tell you, we're coming up on 10 years, and I know you're going to be tremendously blessed. So until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. And as I always would say, if you don't have it, God got it, and you're just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be.